And it reminds me of the Thomas Delaney line about facing Ireland. It's like trying to open a can of beans with your bare hands. They're a nightmare to play against.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's Breakfast Sports Show.
To try and make sense of that weekend of hurling that we've just had. We had two draws in the Munster Senior Hurling Championship, couple of crackers. We've got Sarah Donovan with us and Ryan O'Dwyer to talk about this. Sarah, how are you getting on?
My first mistake anyway was going to Parkhead Saturday night, because that was a roller coaster in itself, the football. And then to top it off with the Carclare game. So what can we say? Champagne hurling for 35 minutes and then a wind-assisted, man-up Easter Sunday resurrection from Clare.
Which was a better game? I'm not quite sure. So I didn't get to see the Cork-Kerry game live. So I appreciate when I watched it on Sunday morning, I was aware of the result and what happened. But for me, that's one of the best Gaelic football matches I've watched in a long, long time. Like, even having both teams still going hammer and tongs, a man short in extra time.
It was incredible. And, you know, I haven't gone to see Cork football play in a long time, my own fault. I'm sure I'm part of a big Cork fan base who have not. But, you know, there was, I think, 15,000 there on Saturday night. And everyone, to a man, was completely invested. Even when Cork were 7 points down. And then obviously Clifford gets sent off. And next thing, the floodgates open for Cork. I think they lost it three times because it felt like they had won it definitely twice. So, yeah, real heartbreak. But to roll into Sunday then and to be so convincingly ahead at halftime. And it was a masterclass in game management from Tony Kelly. I watched him for 38 minutes from his first interception, the ball delivery for the goal, and then his leveler on 73. He was absolutely phenomenal. And I know people are talking about Peter Duggan, and I know they're talking about Shanahan's late grab, but Tony Kelly was everywhere. And there's only two other players that I've kind of seen in the last couple of years have that impact on games, and that's Cian Lynch and Lee Chin. Jesus, he was absolutely incredible.
Right, Ryan. Let's talk about Tony Kelly then. It's the perfect way into this, because chatting to Richie Hogan last week, and he thought maybe with Shane O'Donnell not been around, you actually want Tony Kelly a little bit closer to goal. He was saying that he's this kind of instinctive shooter, so therefore you want to get the ball in hand where Tony Kelly can pop it over the bar. As we saw with that point that Sarah just referenced, no problem. Put him 70 metres out near the sideline, he'll still put it over the bar.
Yeah, like, look, Tony's he's a generational talent. That he's the type of player, you can play him anywhere. Clare, yeah, I would agree, closer to the goal. You saw what he did in last year's All-Ireland final. The goal he scored was just, it was magical. But when you give him that free rein of not really playing a position, kind of go away, find your little pocket of space, go wherever you want, that is occupying the opposition so much. If I was the manager of a team going out to play against Clare, I'd be putting someone tagging him. So no matter where they go, you have your best man mark. It might be your most useless hurler, but your best man mark.
That's not his useless, but you're saying the Mikey Butler style effect here, where even if Kelly's up the other end, Mikey will go after him.
Yeah, no matter where he goes, you're on him. And that's nearly what you do need against Tony Kelly, because you see at the weekend how many scores came either from Tony Kelly or through Tony Kelly with other players. And yeah, he is that inspiration. So I know you might say, oh, I'm taking a person out to mark him. It might be unsettling us, but when you know you're coming up against Clare, well, you're not reacting on the spot. You're planning around that. Oh, look, we might only have two in the full back line or in our full forward line, but you're marking him. Well, then you're planning for that then. But like I already said, the amount of scores that came through him. And he did find himself alone a lot. I know he got blocked down, I think, twice. But he just found himself in space so many times that you can't let that happen. With a player of his quality, you can't let that happen.
Sarah, what were you thinking 25, 26 minutes in? Cork got 2-8 up on the board. It looks like Brian Hayes is, again, running riot. He's got a couple of balls into the net already at that point. Forwards are moving well. Did you think this is going to be a repeat, maybe not quite the 620, but something similar to Ennis a few weeks ago at that point?
I suppose we were just looking at how on top Cork were in the, say, full forward line and half forward line, and how the struggle that it was for the likes of John Conlon to get anywhere near Dara Fitzgibbon. In the first half, the likes of Dara Fitzgibbon was on massive space. In the second half, it looked like Tony Kelly was tagging Dara Fitz in his own full back line. That's how much work Tony Kelly was getting through. So in that first half, Clare couldn't get hands on bodies. They weren't getting close enough to Cork. And it did feel like Cork were completely in control. And, you know, man enforcer in midfield, Tim O'Mahony, was winning every single break. He was winning the 30-70 balls that he had no right to win. So I suppose coupled with the fact that Clare had some really bad wides in the first half, it just felt like Cork were completely on top, and Clare, they certainly weren't firing on all cylinders, and they had some bad wides. So it was a purple patch was going to come in the second half, and it was just how were we going to manage it.
Take a detour from the ordinary.
Owen, it's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
It's time to get diverted.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
Join Owen Sheehan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly, or whenever it comes to food.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
Holanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda. See, see, see.
Available for free on all Off the Ball channels. Divert it on Off the Ball.
Yep, got Hannah O'Connor here in studio with me. Alan Quinlan is joining us from Tipperary as well. Alan, how are you getting on?
Very good, lads, and yourselves.
Now, before we get into this, we're just talking to Ryan O'Dwyer. He was going to ask you about the pop passes for that Tipperary second goal. How happy were you with the Tipperary performance at the weekend?
Very pleased. I think it's a pity, obviously, they couldn't win. Living right or big growing up right on the Limerick border, lots of friends and colleagues from Limerick, and we've watched them been incredible for a number of years. And you know, I obviously lived in Limerick for a long time as well. There's a massive rivalry. It was a great game, great intensity to the game. I spoke to someone yesterday. I said, are Limerick in decline a little bit, or are Tip getting better? And the person who's mad into their hurling says it's a little bit of both. So it's very early days. But look, the other game was phenomenal as well, wasn't it? Down in Ennis, Clare and Cork. So it's too early in the year for all this excitement with the hurling. I missed the summer months, but anyway, that's another debate. I used to go to all these games as a kid, off on the train, here, there and everywhere. It was an incredible game. Two incredible games and a great start to the championship.
Yeah, keeps your mind off Munster for a while. We'll talk about that in a little bit, what happened with the Bulls.
Yeah.
We heard Molly just talking there, Hannah, a few moments ago about, I guess, the mind shift that has happened really under Scott Beamond. As this is now a sustained year of progress, I think we would argue.
Yeah.
So they were coming out with a lot of mental scarring, I think, from the two championships beforehand. Now we're getting used to these performances, good attack and display away from home against Italy. And again at the weekend, to run in six tries, to run up 40 points, they can argue maybe over some of the points that they left behind on the field.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're starting to do the business in these games that they should be winning.
Yeah, as you said, it's like half the battle is that psychological edge. And I think you saw the difference between the two teams of a team that are in transition in Wales and are starting to kind of rebuild after being at rock bottom with it. And Sean Lynn has come in with very little time to kind of turn things around versus an Irish team, as you said, have been doing the last 2 years, who have focused, like Molly said there, on culture, on kind of growing the squad itself and how they get along with each other off the pitch, which then has transitioned to how it performs on the pitch. But yeah, a really kind of composed performance to be able to come back, as you said, to score 40 points and still have an element of frustration in all the post-match interviews from the girls of kind of the sloppiness that the points that they left behind, which is a great complaint to have.
Aoife Wafford doesn't stop scoring at this stage. So she got a brace at the weekend. She had a hand in some of the other tries as well. Like, what a powerful player to be able to call upon. Like, you can talk about your expertise around coming as a back row forward, but like, she's just an absolute colossus at the moment.
Yeah, she's a powerhouse. It's very hard to defend someone like her, and you'd have thought off the back of the WXV1 she would have had a lot more eyes on her in these Six Nations matches of teams kind of doubling up and tripling up, but it doesn't matter. Like, she'll still give you a big carry, she'll still make gain lines in every carry, but like, she's a very clever rugby player. I'm lucky enough to play with her at club as well as Leinster in Ireland. But yeah, she's just kind of going from strength to strength, and I know I heard Scott Beamon talk a little bit about, like, she's always looking to add to her game. She's obsessed with rugby, like, her whole family is obsessed with rugby, so it's great to see her go from strength to strength, because her career started off kind of truncated with big injuries and stuff like that. So she's had niggles that have seen her miss out, but then she comes back to it like she's never been away and goes from strength to strength. So hopefully she'll keep growing and have another big year for in a green shirt. So it'll be great.
To listen to this morning's full Off The Ball breakfast, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.